Well, we're taking a break from reluctant missionary Jonah, who went the opposite direction that he was called, to hear from Stephen Lardina, who have faithfully served for 40 years. Come on up, Stephen, and I want to pray for you before you share.
Thank you, Pastor. Pastor, we are very encouraged with this church, as well as many others that have prayed for us, that have financially made it possible. We have a small gift here for the church. We'll put it in your hands. There is one here that we would... I'm reaching into his present. there's one here that we did before. The people really appreciated it, and so we've done it again. This is our way of saying thank you. Cool. It goes on the oven handle or such, and it says here, your missionaries in Brazil, Stephen and Virginia Vanessa, thank you for your partnership in the Lord's harvest. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world, Romans 1:8. And so this is our way of saying thank you, and may God bless you.
Well, thank you. And we won't let the men's breakfast get a hold of this so it doesn't get bacon grease and stuff all over it. But.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I am very encouraged to be here, and I see a few people that I remember. I'm kind of curious, how many here have no idea who my wife and I are? Feel free to, okay, we have a number of people. All right. First of all, in the back there is a table where you can look and see different things. And there's two prayer letters. Ours that is just hot off the press. I don't even think it's reached here by the mail, but it's coming. And then there's an older one from May with colored pictures. So we want to thank you for being with us during these many years. God has blessed in a mighty way. The first song that we sang, I was very encouraged. God be glorified in me. That's been my wife's and my prayer all along. We were saying, God, make me a blessing to the people that I come in contact with today. And that's our prayer, that we would be that way with you folks, that you would say, wow, it's been good to be at church today. The Lord has blessed me. The Lord has encouraged me. And I just thank him for blessing me this day. That's our prayer, and we pray that it would be the same for you. I think I'll call my wife at this point. She'll come, and she'll share with you for a few moments.
Good morning. My name is Lucinia. I am a Brazilian, and I wanted to report to you what the Lord has done for us these 40 years. I would be here every day to tell you all about it, but I'll tell you a little bit. I was born in a Christian home. I was saved when I was 9 years old, and I dedicated my life when I was 12 years old. I saw a missionary that came to my town, and they were working there, doing so much. They tried to reach the whole community. And then I said, Lord, I want to just be like those people, those missionaries, work for you. And the God protected me from all of that around, you know, and helped me grow up to be a missionary. I praise him. Then growing up, like I am not tall at all. I'll tell you a little bit about it when 2 years ago what happened to me and God. But when I was growing up, I wanted to have a missionary husband. And I started praying, and I told my mom and dad, and we all prayed together and wanted to work for the Lord. And I only could do if my husband would be a missionary. I said, Mom, I want to marry so bad. I don't want to work by myself. I want a husband. And she said, you know what? That couple there is a couple, a wife and a husband, and they work together. And the Lord, if he has something for you, a husband for you, let's pray for a missionary. So the Lord sent a real missionary for me. Isn't he wonderful? He sent Stephen from Canada, and we got married in 74, had three daughters, and now they are all married, and we have 11 grandchildren. One more coming up now in January, and we feel so blessed. 40 years working for the Lord, and how do you give up the thing you like to do? It's not easy. I was really in my devotion, I was telling God, because of our age, because Stephen got sick, and I said, Lord, is that the end? When I heard Stephen had cancer, I cried out to him, and I said, is that the end? And God gave me real good verses that said, no, it's not the end. There's more to do. So then I was very happy. Like I say, I never grew up. I never at all. When I was in school, I didn't like when people said, how old are you? I never said how old I was. They're all tall, and here I was the shortest in my class. And then when I was 18, how would I date, and how would these guys knew I had, you know, I was old enough to have a boyfriend. They would come to me and said, how old are you? I would not tell them. And I said, that guy's not very smart. And then when somebody came to me and said, are you 18? And then my eyes would grow up. And I would tell them the truth, how old I was. And I never let people in my age knew how old I was. And then 2 years ago, I was doing my devotions. And then look how the Lord spoke to me, Joshua 13:1. I had went back to my growing up childhood when he told to Joshua, and I'm not kidding. I just saw the first part of Joshua 13:1, and I know that that's when he was dividing the land. But the Lord said to Joshua, he said, you are very old. That hit me. God didn't come to me and said, how old are you? He said, you are very old. Because I was fighting. Are we going to retire? Are we going to come back to the field? What am I going to do, Lord? And the Lord said to Joshua, when Joshua was old and well advanced in years, the Lord said to him, you are very old, and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over. That really hit me and made me laugh, made me cry. I went back to my childhood, and I said, thank you, Lord. Now I know it's time to retire. Now I know it's time for us to say yes. We will let the church and other people go because there's much to be done. There's land to be divided on case of Joshua, but for us, there's much to be done. The gospel needs to go. And I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart to be your representative of the gospel in Brazil. I take no credit. I give you some credit, but the credit goes to God. Amen. Because he was there. I leave this verse with you, and I'll let Stephen speak, otherwise I'll be here for the whole time. Psalm 48, and it's 14. For this is God. For this, God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. And he has been. He has been our guide in times of goodness, bad times, sad times, difficult times, missionary life is not as rosy as you think. Just because we work for the Lord, we have the same trials that you go through, if not more. But He is our God, and He is with us to the end. Amen? Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for being with us for these 40 years. God reward you. Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you.
Is it going to stay by itself? Okay, great. I myself am a Vernon boy from the Okanagan Valley, born and raised there. And at the age of 6, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Emmanuel Fellowship Baptist Church in Vernon was a very good place for me to grow up spiritually. Pastor Ken Beaumont and his wife, Patricia, they were wonderful at just helping us, our family, to grow. Our family was actually divided. My two brothers went to church with me at the beginning, but as they were getting old, they stopped going. The one brother did everything in his power to drag me out of the church. And I was so very discouraged. When I was 14 years old, I said, "Lord, I don't want this." I had begun praying, "Lord, even a coincidence so that I can know that you're real. Speak to me, Lord." And the Lord just never did. So that summer at Sunnybrae Bible Camp, I said, "Lord, this is it. If you don't speak to me, I will not follow. I'll do as my brothers." It was an experience that is beyond explanation. We had a missionary from Brazil speaking at the camp and another speaker, and God just used those men to turn my life around, to give me such a deep conviction. At the end of that week of camp, I knew that one day I would be a missionary in Brazil. And life just continued on. After my first year at NBTC down in Vancouver, which is now at Trinity Western, my first, I said, "Mom, I'm not ready to go back to college." And she said, "Well, Stephen, you've always been talking about Brazil. Now is the time to go." So she put me in her car there in Vernon, drove me all the way to Hermosillo, Mexico, said, "I'm sorry, but I have to go back for work." So I hitchhiked from Hermosillo to Mexico City and flew to Brazil. And God just confirmed in every way in my heart, yes, this is where you are to be. And of course, that's where I met this lovely lady. And it's just been so wonderful the years that we've been able to work together. I think saying that much, we should probably take a moment to show you the PowerPoint presentation, and then I have something else as well. We would like to share briefly with you our two main ministry assignments since 2010. These are church planting in La Marão and teaching in the seminary. First, La Marão. Lama means mud. La Marão literally means lots of mud. The community of La Marão is small and has a population of 9,560 people. It is mostly inhabited by poor and illiterate interior people. Catholicism is the main religion of La Marão. However, African Spiritism flows throughout the Brazilian Roman Catholic Church. No one wants to fix La Marão's horrible roads. Each Sunday, Virginia and I would take home those people who walk 4 or more kilometers to get to church. Pastor Edivaldo, who took over from us, does not drive them to their houses because he feels the roads are too hard on his car. Please pray that they will continue to come and that someone would have the vision of taking them home. The community of La Maraon is a place with a high rate of violence. We have emphasized in many of our prayer letters that we need God's protection. The last 8 kilometers before arriving at the church have extremely bad roads and absolutely no public illumination. If we only shared the negative things and hardships, we would not be faithful missionaries. We do see God's hand in our everyday lives. Great things God has done. He has saved people. He has given them conviction and courage to be baptized. Jacinto cannot read, but he and his family deeply love the Lord. He does not miss one service. We wanted him to be a deacon, but it was not possible because he and his wife were not able to legalize their marriage. Soon after Pastor Edivaldo took over, he disciplined Jacinto's daughter, Adriana, because she started to date an unbeliever. With much prayer and her faithfulness to the church, Hugo, her boyfriend, accepted the Lord. When we left Brazil, both were active in the church. These were the core leaders of the church during our time. We each had our turn at directing the services. God gave us lots of joy reaching people for Him. Sometimes the joy was mingled with sorrow as one or another turned back from following Jesus. Since many of our people were illiterate and therefore unable to read the Bible, we decided to start an audio-video library of sermons, Bible readings, music, and films. They loved it, as well as the many other special things we did for them. These are some of the people you have prayed for. Please continue to pray for them as the Lord leads you. Touching lives is hard work. As the Lord led, we have tried various things to minister to the people. When we asked, Italu did not want to lead the Sunday service because he had lost his 4 permanent front teeth. Virginia and I used the money from an unexpected gift to fix his teeth. After receiving his new teeth, he asked, "When can I lead the service?" Priceless. It made us cry for joy. Since 2010, I have been preparing Brazilians at the Baptist Seminary to do the work we have done. The majority of the courses I taught were Old Testament subjects. One semester, I taught basic computer modules in 4 different church locations. For my final semester, I was asked to teach music theory so pastors would have a basic understanding of music in their future churches. I knew that they would not retain music theory for very long, so at the same time, I taught them how to play the recorder. 20% of their final grade was to play a package of 3 Christmas songs in each of the 5 churches that they represented. Preparing a people for His name has been our ministry for these past years. We cannot express enough gratitude to God and you for supporting us with finances and prayer. God wants others to share Christ not only in Brazil, but in every nation. May God bless you. You saw there that it says starting a new church, reopening a church plant. This was actually a successful church, and then the church, for some reason which we do not know, diminished to the point that the mother church closed it. And when we came onto the scene, they said, "Oh, Stephen, Virginia, would you consider going and being there and helping us to reopen this church?" So that's what we did, but it was extremely difficult. We had people there, very good people, as you saw there, Jacinto and his family. But as if you're Baptist, like I'm Baptist, I want to use those people. But in order to have an example for other people in the church, They have to have everything basically correct. And the problem is at one point, there was only my wife and I who were married in the church. All the other couples were just common law. And so what can you do in that situation? He's just as godly as I am, and yet we couldn't do anything for him because of the procedure within the church. So this church struggled for so long. We would get on, we would be up to 40, 45 people, and something would happen, and we would be back down to 15 people again, and then we'd have to work again at building up. That happened, I think, about three times when we were there. So we are thankful for those who have helped us to be an influence to these people. I would like to, at this time, open God's Word. There's a passage that has spoken to me, and I think it's very applicable for missionaries. If you would turn in your Bibles to the last chapter of Luke, chapter 24, I'd like us to read verses 44 to 49. I've looked at this passage in a way that I've not seen it before, and it has such a powerful effect on me. It's my hope, my prayer, that I'll be able to transmit some of that to you. Would you be kind to stand, and we will read together God's Word? I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. 44. Now he said to them, that means the disciples, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." May God bless the reading of his word. Still standing, let us pray. Father, as we examine your word, we just ask that you would in a very special way touch our hearts, cause us to be sensitive to your word, cause us to hear, quicken our minds to understand, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned at the beginning, this passage, the message that I'm giving you is not new with me, but it is so relevant. If we could understand it, it would be wonderful. What I'd like to do is start with a story out of a Reader's Digest. On a certain occasion, there was a little boy who had just received a brand new sandbox out in the front yard. And he came to his mom and his grandma who were there and said, "Will you come outside with me and play with me in my sandbox?" And they agreed and they went. And so they went there to play with him. He gave them each a pail and a shovel, and all three of them were having a heyday in the new sandbox in the front of the yard. Well, mother and grandmother, which would be mother and her mother, began talking and just enjoying the time so much. All of a sudden, they started noticing people were looking, staring at them as they were walking by, And the girl and the mother and grandmother thought, oh, something's wrong. And they took stock and said, hey, where's our little son? Where's the grandson? And because mom and grandma had been talking about things that were of their interest, they were no longer meeting him on his level. So he got up and he went to the backyard and was playing in the backyard. And mom and grandma were playing in a sandbox all by themselves. I think we'd look kind of silly if we're there playing with our bucket and our shovel, dumping it out and doing another. Where's the little boy? And you know what? I think that is a parallel to what we often do. We go with the right motive to do something, and in a little bit, we're doing something with the wrong motive. And so, just to simplify it, the mother and grandmother went to be with the boy and to entertain him and to just have him as the focus. But the focus shifted from him to their conversation. And I think that's how it is with us. We start as the disciples did, and we hear, and as we hear things, we begin to lose focus as to why we're actually doing what we're doing. So I'd like to pull from this passage just a few thoughts which I think will give us a new appreciation. First of all, Luke 24, Jesus had rose from the dead, and the disciples were waiting. They were afraid. They were in the house with the windows and doors closed. Two of them, after going to the cemetery and seeing that Jesus was not there, they were worried. Somebody stole his body. Two of them went to Emmaus, and Jesus walked with them on the way, and their hearts burned with what he said. And they themselves said, don't you know anything? Haven't you heard that Jesus has died? And Jesus opened the scriptures to them. Within this passage, we see three things that I believe are very, very important for us to consider in the responsibility that God has given us. First of all, let's look at verse 44. Verse 44, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And so what we need to recognize at the beginning here is that Jesus was telling his disciples who had walked with him for 3 years, he was telling them that this must happen. This is why I came. That's why it happened. That's why I was crucified. That's why I was buried, but I am risen. And so Jesus spoke to them this way. And with that, we need to understand that if Jesus said, I should have read to you 46 and 47. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And so with this, dear people, Jesus is telling us that he had to be crucified and that he would be risen again, and that there must be repentance for forgiveness of sins. What that teaches us is twofold. First of all, we need to realize that God loves us, There's a tract that came out a few years ago that said basically, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And it was a very good tract. I used it during my college days, and I thought it gave me good opportunities. But as we look back and see, there was not one word of repentance in that passage of the little tract, four things that God wants you to know. And here we see that Jesus is telling his disciples that there must be repentance for forgiveness of sins to be proclaimed in his name. And so the first of all is the fact that if someone is to be born again, there must be repentance. It's not just something where I add one more thing to my life and now beyond all of the things I used to do, I now am also a Christian. The focus is lost in that the focus is that Christ died for my sin that I might be free from my sin. And so as missionaries, as we go to Brazil, you folks here, as you live and work in your community, all of us need to understand that the whole purpose of Christ on earth was to bring us back to God in fellowship. And so man was created by God, and man sinned, and man was separated from God because of sin. There must be repentance. And if there must be repentance, that must mean that these people need to know, need to be aware that they must repent. And so each of us, you and I, as we are in Brazil, as you are here, we must proclaim the message of Christ, that Christ died for us, and that we must repent and believe upon him that we might be saved. And so it's twofold. First of all, that the people need to know that they need to repent. And second of all, it's an onus on us that we should tell others that they need to repent in order to be accepted by God. So that's the first thing that I wanted to mention from here. There's another part that I thought was very interesting from the perspective of a missionary. And that is if we look again at these verses, I'm not sure which one, I'll do this one first. Verse 46, 47, that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in the name, in his name, to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. The disciples, when they chose Matthias to replace Judas Iscariot, they chose a person who had been with them right from the beginning. And as we see the need, the people who are talking of God are people who know God. It is very clear here that he opened their minds to the scriptures. If we go back earlier in the passage, the two who were on the way to Emmaus, Cleopas and the person with them, two of them were on their way to the village, verse 13. And verse 25, he's explaining to them. He says, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and to enter glory? And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them these things concerning himself." And so he opened their minds so that they would understand the word of God. When we consider that we're telling the word of God, we must be faithful to the word of God. We cannot preach a false doctrine. For example, prosperity gospel. God promises if you become a believer, this and this. That's not in God's word. And so we are seeing here that God told to the disciples that they needed to believe and that they were to transmit that same message to other people. And that's what we have been doing in Brazil these years, and I trust that that is what you folks are doing here in this community. God has been very faithful. God has taught us many things as we have reached to lives. The third thing that I wanted to mention here is when it says you are witnesses of these things, they are to wait in Jerusalem. When they receive power, then they are to go to Judea, to Samaria, to the confines of the earth. And that's what each of us does. Some of us are able to go as God calls us, and we go. Some of us are not able to go, or some of us have not been called to go, and so God calls us to pray. God calls us to financially support. And it's a global picture where we are reaching people for Jesus Christ. And so it's to all nations, and it's with the power of the Holy Spirit. If we do it in our own flesh, we won't accomplish anything. But if we ask God each time, Lord, make me a blessing that I might touch lives, touch hearts, God does wonderful things in the lives of the people. And I am very thankful that he has kept us faithful till now doing that. Virginia and I are actually at the end of our career missionary work. We will be retiring in May. And in May, we've offered to the mission that we will be with them for 3 or 4 months a year if they would like to send us to replace some missionaries who have to come home for medical leave, for a wedding perhaps of children. We will go and substitute for them while they're gone and fill the gap for them. There is a huge gap worldwide. And I trust that God would be speaking to each of you, that you would say, Lord, here am I, send me. Where you want me, Lord, if you want me at home praying, if you want me at home giving, if you want me to go, Lord, here am I, send me. That's my prayer for you, and I trust that God would speak to your hearts through it. Thank you. I see just a wee bit. Maybe we could take a moment to ask questions. Have we said anything that perhaps you would like to ask us something further? I can call my wife up as well, and anyone would like to ask anything. Everybody's content. Ah, all right. If there's no questions, then. All right. Again, we'll be standing at the table in the back. You feel free to come and talk with us. Thank you.